Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. One of college basketball's winningest coaches, Bobby Knight, has died at 83. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
Smart takes the shot.
Coach Bob Knight was one of the most successful coaches in college basketball history.
More than anything else, I really enjoy this game.
Start moving, Black, move.
The General, as he was known, won three NCAA national championships during his career, leading the bench for Army, Indiana, and Texas Tech. But what most people think of when they think of Knight is his hot temper on and off the court.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
Hundreds of foreign nationals, including some Americans, were able to get out of the Gaza Strip when the Rafah gate between Gaza and Egypt was opened. But there were also more Israeli airstrikes on a Palestinian refugee camp in northern Gaza a day after scores were killed in the same location. CBS's Charlie Daggett in Tel Aviv.
The U.S. State Department says around 400 U.S. citizens are still trying to get out of Gaza. But more Americans are expected to leave tomorrow, plus their families. U.S. citizen Fatih Abu al-Hassan is still trapped.
No water, no food, no shelter, nothing, nothing.
President Biden calls for a humanitarian pause in the Israel-Hamas war to, he says, get prisoners out. Just in, the House rejects a bid to expel Congressman George Santos from office as lawmakers await findings of an ethics probe and criminal trial. President Biden takes his economic message to rural America.
The president says it's about basic fairness.
My plan is about investing in rural America. It's about something else as well. It's about restoring pride in the rural to rural communities that have been left behind for far too long.
Speaking at a family farm in rural Minnesota, Mr. Biden said America's family farms have been squeezed by big corporations, making it difficult to achieve the American dream.
Let's make sure that those who want to stay in the farm can stay as long as they want because they make a good, decent living.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
No classes for public school students in Portland, Oregon. Teachers are on strike. Becky Pringle with the National Education Association.
We are not going to allow them to continue to go to school without the resources they need. We're not going to allow them to continue to go into classrooms where there are 33 students and they can't get the individual attention they need.
Portland Public Schools says the union's proposal would result in more spending and potential staff cuts. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering whether to hear a lawsuit to overturn the state's school choice program. Wis Politics reports conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley says the high court should have rejected the lawsuit. She says it's a policy matter for lawmakers to consider and not a matter for the courts. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler joined Bradley's dissent. Interested parties have until the 14th to weigh in. Open enrollment in the health insurance marketplace is underway. Democratic state lawmakers are reintroducing bills they say will make health care in Wisconsin better and more affordable. One bill would expand BadgerCare eligibility for some people up to 133% of the federal poverty level. Another bill would create a BadgerCare public option to buy health coverage on the state exchange. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers getting ready to face the Hoosiers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers will be on the road this weekend to take on Indiana at Memorial Stadium. With a growing list of injuries, does that mean that opportunities for other players to get more playing time? Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Yeah, there's potential for a lot of guys to get on the field in these final four games. Haven't played at all, you know, with the rule of, you know, allowing young guys that they got four games. So there could be some situations where we start to throw some guys in, maybe special teams.
NFL. The news sinking in here at Lambeau Field that defensive back Rasul Douglas is no longer in the building. The Packers traded him to the Bills for a third-round pick and essentially to take money off the salary cap for next year. Jair Alexander asked, how did he find out the news?
I actually found out this morning coming into work, so I made sure I text him right away. I didn't expect Rasul to be gone. You know, he's a vet throughout his time here. It's just the NFL.
That's Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy tonight with lows around 26. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs level off around 45 tomorrow. Lows around 34 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Ascend Elements CEO Mike O'Cronley on CNBC.
We're collecting batteries from the field and bringing them back in and making new battery materials out of them. The fact that we are getting a certain amount of government support has really also helped catalyze some of the investors, the private money that is coming in.
And remember, EV batteries can be recycled and reused. Fossil fuels can't.
In Deep Red, Kentucky. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to. Lots to talk about. Evidently, the United States of America isn't the United States of America and will only be so, evidently, if Donald Trump gets a second term. Evidently, he was blathering on about how we're going to have a great country. It's going to be a great country. It's going to be the best country. You know, doing his normal ramble. But then the punchline, we're going to have a great country. It's going to be called the United States of America. Did you know? If he wins again, he's going to call the United States of America the United States of America. Genius with a J. But again, everyone keeps talking about Joe Biden. You know, he's cognitive, there's problems. Dude, have you watched Trump's ramblings? Have you seen the things that he puts out on that little app he's got? Wow. But today, the Trump family center stage in court. Dumb Jr. was there to testify with his beautiful salmon tie. And Ivanka, she's trying to get out of it. She has appealed the ruling that says she has to testify. And what I found interesting is that Dumb Jr. didn't really know very much. I mean, that's the part that gets me. This is the guy who's supposed to be running parts of the company. And it's amazing to me how little he claims to have known. Now, you know, I don't want to get into the whole trial thing. Don't really care that much at this moment. Justice will prevail. There will be a decision. Hopefully he will be held accountable. But the punchline today, you had a leading bank expert who testified today that Trump and the Trump Organization benefited by more than $168 million because of the favorable loans that they were able to manipulate. because of the fraud, because of the things that they did, you know, they were able to save themselves $168 million. Now, the thing is, and this is where you go back to the debate, and you know, Hillary was hitting Trump on the tax numbers and how little he pays, and he was, because I'm smart. And look, the base bought it. The base has bought it. So I said this to a guy today. I go, you know, Trump, you know, cheated the banks out of $168 million. And the guys are, well, he's smart. And I go, just like he cheated the IRS and, you know, the state of New York out of tax dollars, that's right, he's smart. And just like he screwed all the creditors out of, you know, all the money that they were owed with six bankruptcies, he's smart. And just like during his 4 years in office, he pocketed an additional amount of business between $1.6 and $1.8 billion. Yeah, that's right. He's smart. And I was thinking about it. I'm going, well, you know, the reality is yeah, he's smart, all right. He really is. I mean, like any good con man, he got the mark to be appreciative and to recognize his brilliance. This is the mark of a truly great con man. And I've always said this about Trump. He is a master con, because he's got the base going, he's smart, look at this. Because here's the reality. All of these things, cheating the banks out of money, cheating the IRS out of money, screwing creditors out of all this, bankrolling his future off of his time in the White House. All of this comes back to you and me picking up the check. We're the ones who clean up the mess. We're the ones who pay the bills, or in a lot of cases, don't get paid. And I find it remarkable that there are still some who go, well, you know, he cheated the banks. Yeah, he did. And you know what they turn around and do? They charge you higher fees. They charge you more because they're going to make their money somewhere. And where is that from? Well, it's going to be from working people. It's going to be from people like you and me. And that's the frustrating part in all of this. And this is where the rich do this all the time. It's not just Trump, but Trump is the master at this moment, because he has figured out a way to get working people to actually think he's one of them. That he understands what it's like to come home at the end of a day and be exhausted and not be able to play with the kids. That he actually gets his hands dirty. That he actually, you know, sweats in labor. That he's actually figured out how to get people to think this way. And it's remarkable to me because, you know, I've always known Trump for what he is. He's a good con man. He's a good salesman. He is the art of the deal. It's a bad deal for you and me, but somehow this guy has not worked a day in his life, and yet you've got working people who are okay with picking up the bill, who are okay with picking up and cleaning up the mess, and then saying, yes, yes, sir, may I have another? Will you do it to me more? Because again, I come back to, what did Trump do in his 4 years that actually helped working people? And the response I get all the time is, oh, look at my 401k, which had very little to do with Trump. Before the pandemic, our 401ks were doing pretty good, but they were doing pretty well coming out of the Obama term. You know, this is the thing that we tend to give presidents too much credit and too much blame for what happens in the economy. Because we've got corporations who, well, willing to rob us blind. And we've given such outweighed power to. You know, I had a conversation today of someone who told me, well, you know, gas prices were, you know, were $2. And I go, you do realize we were locked up during that period. And you do remember who was president. And there's this kind of this weird view that everything was perfect during his term for some of my red hat friends. And they have this view that moves into the things that are going on now. I've had people tell me that Putin would have never invaded Ukraine, that what happened in Israel would have never happened because Donald Trump wouldn't have allowed it. And you go, really? And when I heard yesterday that Lindsey Graham was parroting this, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham was out there doing what a lot of my Red Hat friends do. You know, the hero worship. Graham said on CNN, I believe if Trump were president, none of this would be going on. If he were president of the United States, Hamas would not have attacked Israel. Really? Their stated goal is the death and destruction of the Israeli state and every Jew on the planet. And yet somehow the orange one was going to stop that. He also said that Putin wouldn't have invaded Ukraine because they're afraid of the guy. Really? Did you see the Helsinki, press conference? Did you see the genuflecting? Did you see it? Did you miss that? And now remember, this is the same guy who just a couple of days ago said that, you know, a head of another country stood up and said, does that mean if Russia attacks my country, you won't be there? And Trump said, that's right. That's what it means. I will not protect you. Again, trying to shake down another country. And that's not new for him. I mean, remember the perfect phone call trying to shake down Zelensky to get information on Biden? Yeah, we'd love to give you the money that's been allocated by Congress. We'd love to give you the money that and the weapons and the things that you need. But I'm going to need this little bit of, I'm going to need you to do a little something. It's quite remarkable. And, you know, I remember Trump standing next to Putin, you know, saying, you know, I asked him if he interfered in the 2016 election, and he said no. And why would he? What? Even though every one of our intelligence agencies said, yeah, they've been doing it for years. But that's not new. I mean, that kind of pandering, not new. But here we are in this moment. Where up is down, right is left. Where do we go? How do we step back from the place that we now find ourselves? Where there are working people who are struggling, and the struggle is real. People are having a tough time making ends meet. Healthcare is a mate. Now remember Trump said 2 weeks we're gonna have a healthcare plan. It's gonna be the best. It's going to be cheap. It's going to be affordable. It's going to be universal. Everyone's going to have it. Now, he was talking about car insurance, but never mind. It's insurance, as far as he knows. Tires or testicles doesn't matter to him. But where do we go as a country? I know. The diversion. The story I read today that just blew my mind. Melania Trump is now back on the scene, and for the first time has been seen with Donald. They had a Halloween party at Mar-a-Lago, and there were beautiful photos. And this is what we should be focusing on, the distraction. And you know, when I saw the picture, you know what I thought? The ink must be dry. The renegotiated prenup must be dry, and it's time for her to start doing a little work for her money. I know, that's horrible of me, isn't it? But you know it's true. I want to hear your thoughts. Do you have a problem with the $186 million that he benefited by cheating the banks, by lying on the forms? And what would have happened to you if you would have done it? Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Got a lot to get to, lots to talk about. Right back after this. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Let's go to the phone lines to get our daily dose of Alice. Alice, how are you?
Insane.
Predictable. So, what's going on?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, before I forget, let me say, because you've never said it, for those of you that want to download the free speech app, so you can watch Rick starting in December, you can download that on the Roku channel if you have the Roku TV or the Roku that hooks into your TV. So I thought I'd bring that up, Rick, because you never said it.
I appreciate it.
And then what I wanted to say was, it boggles the mind that the Law and Order Party, their previous president, their going to soon be candidate, is one of the biggest lawbreakers, and they don't have a problem with all his lies about his banking and stuff. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Part of me thinks it's they wish they could do it, and you know, and they'll sacrifice and struggle and pay the because they, I don't know why, but it's a struggle for me. I'm with you, Alice.
Well, it is, and you know what it makes me believe in, you know, in psychology. You know, we talk about narcissists and sociopaths and psychopaths. And I believe firmly that Donald Trump is a sociopath because most, not all, but a majority of sociopaths are con artists. And he also suffers from narcissism, malignant narcissism. So when you have someone that is either a psychopath, sociopath, or a narcissist, there are people that support them that are called enablers. And to me, I'm just going, these people are definitely enablers. They're also called flying monkeys because, you know, they turn them on other people. And to me, it's like, it just keeps going on, and I am more and more convinced that the man is a sociopath. You have a good evening.
Thanks,
Rick.
Alice. I appreciate it. He's a hat trick of a lot of things. But to follow up on Alice's, and I have not done a good enough job, we are currently on Free Speech every weeknight at 9 p.m. You can pick up the half-hour show there. In the beginning of the year, we'll be going to an hour a day. But if you got Amazon Fire TV, DirecTV, Dish, Sling, Roku, Apple TV, any of those, Free Speech TV is found on all of those. They're in 70 some million homes across the U.S. And, you know, when you talk about streaming in every home across the country, and for us, you know, moving away from talk radio, you know, as I said before, we're at the top of where we can possibly grow to. We're on 50 stations across the country. We were named to the Talkers Magazine Top 100. In the talk radio world, we're at the pinnacle. We're at the top of where you can on this side of the political aisle. If I were a crazy right winger saying, no, Donald Trump's a genius and we need to give tax breaks to rich people and deregulate corporations, I could be on 1,200 stations tomorrow. That's not what the moneyed interests, that's what the moneyed interests want. They don't want a guy who's going to go, hey, you know, maybe your workers should be unionized and they should get higher wages and better health care and retirement security and some say on the job and some job security. And, oh, by the way, the corporation should pay a little bit higher taxes to ensure society runs a little bit better, better schools, better hospitals, better roads and bridges, all that stuff you take advantage of. And, oh, by the way, those billionaires that own your company, they shouldn't exist. Kind of hard to get ad revenue when that's the message. Now, that's a working class message. which is why the wealth class doesn't want anyone to hear it, and why I think our move to free speech TV is the best move in this moment. It's going to give us access to more eyes and ears, and also get us out of the studio and into the streets and doing some things that we've been wanting to do for a while. So this, to me, this is a good, exciting move, and I hope folks will come along. You know, just go to thericksmithshow.com. There's a lot of ways to participate there, but I'm excited about it, and thank you, Alice. Pete in Pennsylvania sent me an email. Rick, did you know that half of the UAW members aren't auto workers? He said, I recently read that the United Auto Workers Union once had 1.5 million auto worker members, but today the UAW only has 380,000 members and only 150,000 in any kind of auto work, with more than a quarter of their members in higher education. Do you think this contract will turn that around? Yeah, I do think you're going to see some more auto jobs organizing. I do think the fact that you're the lowest members of the UAW right now, seeing 150% raise over the life of this contract, going from, you know, temps making $16.67 an hour to then going to be over $40 an hour at the end of this contract, $42 an hour with the COLA. I don't know. I don't know how you say, no, I don't want that. They did away with the two-tier wage, the multi-tier wage system. The lowest tiered members there at the Sterling Axle plant and the Ronsville plant, they're going to see immediate raises between 53 and 83%. That is a huge thing. They're going to go from 1896 up to almost $36 an hour. And with the COLA, the top rate, over $42 an hour for production, $50 an hour for skilled trades. This is a big freaking deal. This is what my grandparents' generation, these are the kind of contracts they fought and won. And when you have this kind of clear making lives better, more people are going to come around. If you remember the Teamsters UPS contract, immediately people started Googling, hey, how do I get a UPS job? Because those are really good wage jobs. So for me, yeah, I think it's going to help their membership numbers. But more importantly, it's going to help build on the organizing, the victory, the contract victory, and organizing is going to, I think, going to expand and explode, because people are fed up, people are struggling, and this could be the way forward. I got an email from George in where is this, Mississippi. He said, Rick, I heard you talking about how great the UAW did losing 6 weeks pay to a raise. Look at what Toyota gave their workers. Was it worth 6 weeks without a paycheck? Of course that came from Mississippi. The reality is nobody wants to go on strike. Nobody wants to lose a paycheck. But sometimes you have to. Strikes are always, as I say, the last arrow in the quiver, but it's one that's got to be there. And the fact that they went out on the picket line and they did this, yeah, it's going to pay off in the long run. Sadly, too often, especially in the past, strikes haven't paid off. This one's going to. And when you have a situation where the UAW had a good strike fund, so people didn't go completely without a paycheck, this was a huge victory. Now, for the members, for any working person, and this is a working person, this should be a working person's ethic. You know, I remember the old timer who pulled me aside the first day I got a union job, the guy who was training me. And he said, before you get used to spending this big money, put 6 months of your bills in a coffee can and a sock. He was the Depression era guy. They still stuff things under the mattresses. If you believe in those banks, put your money in a bank, but have 6 months liquid assets so that if you ever have to cross that threshold and go out on a picket line, you're not going to starve. And I followed that, and I hope every working person understands that that's the way we should be living our lives. Make sure that you have some liquidity in the event that you do have to stand up and fight for your rights. Because as the guy said, look, at the drop of the hat, you may have to cross that picket line and get out on that picket line, cross that threshold to get on the picket line to defend what you have, to fight for better than you have. And you got to be able to do it. And I'm with him. Now, here's the thing. He points to an article at Toyota. Toyota is now giving their workers a 9.2% raise. Their top rate is going to go up to $34.80 an hour as of January 1st. That's going to be the highest wage that they pay. Now, clearly, they're going to be lower rates for lower jobs. Not anywhere near what the UAW is going to be paying, but still a higher rate. Now, what George is telling me, or I think what he's trying to say, is that, you know, well, why would you go out on strike when the company gives you these raises? And I've heard this before, you know, the benevolent corporation, you know, is giving their workers these things. He writes, look at what Toyota gave their workers. You know, I tell my union brothers and sisters, these companies don't give you anything. You fight for it.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Fiery and winning college basketball coach Bobby Knight has died at age 83. Zach Osterman, Indiana University beat writer for the Indy Star.
There was a time when he would have been not just one of the most recognizable figures in college basketball or even basketball, but probably in American sports.
After being trapped for more than 3 weeks, the first Palestinians have been allowed to leave Gaza and cross into Egypt. CBS's Charlie Daggett in Tel Aviv.
I understand more Americans will be coming out. Only a handful came out today. So it really will be telling in the next few days, not only who will be coming out of Gaza into Egypt, but what Egypt will allow back into that territory.
Public school teachers in Portland, Oregon are striking over issues including pay and class sizes. The school system says the union's proposal would lead to staff cuts. Teacher Venus Collar.
We've been at the bargaining table for over 9 months, and it feels like only recently the district has actually started to take us seriously.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Ruggiehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An inmate died at the Waupun State Prison on Monday. That's the third death at Waupun in 4 months. The Dodge County Medical Examiner says autopsy reports won't be ready for a couple of months. The Waupun Prison has been in lockdown since March. The Journal Sentinel reports about 1,000 inmates have to stay in their cells around the clock. Families say they're concerned about health care at the prison. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler delivered the annual State of the Judiciary Address in Lake Geneva on Wednesday. The veteran conservative justice didn't spend much time addressing her clashes with the court's new liberal majority. Chief Ziegler instead focused on improving court security and mental health treatment options for offenders. I'm Nate Wuggiehout, Civic Media News.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy tonight with lows around 26. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs level off around 45 tomorrow. Lows around 34 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Very committed to the highest standards of ethical conduct. Seriously? Including the notorious money sleaze, Clarence Thomas? But wait, even a progressive justice, Elena Kagan, joins in the charade that an ethical code might produce, well, ethics, or at least political cover for the lack thereof. A code, she surmises, would, quote, go far in persuading other people that we are adhering to the highest standards of conduct. Hello, would you be persuaded? Yet, these Supremes won't even take this minimal step of adopting a simple code to measure basic integrity. It would be a good idea for us to do it, Barrett meekly says. It would be a good thing for the court to do that, Kagan echoes. This is Jim Hightower saying, stop it. Stop the pitiful posturing. There's only 9 of you. You're in charge. Convene a happy hour, confront reality, and do the right thing. Just do it. I'll buy the beer.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the good folks over at Common Cause and Media Matters today delivered a petition to Comcast with over 145,000 signatures, of which I think mine was one of them. I'm not 100% sure, but I've signed on to so many of these petitions saying, hey, we shouldn't be paying Fox for their propaganda. And they're saying, hey, you know, no more paying for Fox News to spread propaganda and lies with these carriage fees. And look, stop screwing over cable providers and people like me who don't watch Fox, want no part of it. I've seen enough BS. I can predict what they're going to tell me. But here to share some thoughts on what the day's events brought and maybe how we, well, regained control of our cable dial, or at least stop the pain and the propaganda. That's why I've asked Philip Hensley Robin to come talk with us. He's the executive director of Common Cause Pennsylvania. You can find their website at commoncause.org. Philip, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
So walk me through this. What was the event? What'd you guys do? Give me the groundwork.
Yeah, so we had a great rally outside Comcast corporate headquarters here in Philadelphia today. Common Cause, like you said, our friends at Media Matters, and we delivered a message and we delivered a petition to Comcast. And the message was simple. Like you said, consumers, cable subscribers should not have to pay for Fox News's lies, which are destroying our democracy, undermining the foundations of how we run elections in this country by lying to people about things like elections and voting machines. The message here is Fox is demanding an increase in their carriage fee. They want more money from the cable companies to carry their product. And that is every single person. If you're a subscriber for Charter, for Comcast, for Cox Communications, that's around $250 of your cable bill is going to Fox, even if you don't watch it. And they're using high pressure tactics to try to get Comcast and the other cable companies to increase that and make us pay even more because they're in a deep hole. They had to pay $787.5 million out of that Dominion lawsuit. And they want to pass the cost on to you, onto consumers. And we're saying that's wrong.
It's absolutely wrong. But what's surprising to me is how many people don't know that out of your cable bill, you're actually seeing this transfer to Fox and a lot of these different providers. But especially Fox, because I know a lot of people who specifically will not watch them. But yet it's on there and you're still paying for it. So this is a way to, I guess what you're saying is there's got to be a way to stop that. Are you talking about, maybe just not paying them, giving consumers the ability to opt out? What's the demand? What's the ask?
Yeah, the reality is under the current model, it's bundled. You can't opt out. You don't have that option. But what we can do is we can tell Comcast, your cable subscribers, the consumers who are your customers, do not want to pay more to a cable channel that they don't even watch. And so right now there's a negotiation going on, right? Fox News is in their regular negotiation with the cable companies and saying how, and they want more. They want more from the cable companies, and that's going to get passed on. And so we're just making sure that Comcast hears loud and clear that their customers do not want that. We absolutely do not want that. This is just tantamount to passing on all of these costs that Fox News has already borne from the lawsuit, from, you know, all of the advertisers that have left them. Their last remaining source really is this cable fee. It's 70% of their revenue. And so if we are, our strategy here is really to go where they get their revenue and to go to the cable companies and say, do not accede to this demand. Do not accept an increase in the carriage fee.
Say that again. 70% of their revenue. 70%. Now, again, you know, these are the people who tell us about the free market. These are the people who tell us that, you know, consumers are the, you know, are the drivers. These are the capitalist people. 70% coming from the cable companies. That sounds an awful lot like socialism.
It's really crazy because you think, just like you're saying, in an ordinary competitive market, if you have a institution going out there and misleading people in such a devastating way that results in people not believing in the rules of elections, you're trying to overturn an election, people flee that company, people flee that news source. And so we have advertiser boycotts. You know, we know that Fox is hurting because of that, but they still get the money because of these carriage fees. And that's why it's so important that folks know about this.
That is really, really, you know, it's one of those things that's, in my view, makes you go, what exactly is going on here? That there's a system set up like that the vast majority of consumers don't even know exists. So let me ask you, what kind of response did you get as you're moving this petition and you're talking to these people? What kind of response did you get?
You know, we got an overwhelming response. You said 145,000. It was actually, by the end of the day, 165,000 people signed this petition. And, you know, I think we heard a lot of also stories from people who signed our petition to tell us about how devastating Fox News has been in their own lives. You know, how the lies and the propaganda about things like our elections really are tearing their communities apart. They're tearing families apart. And so I think there was such a strong response just because people know how dangerous this channel can be. And it's not just us saying it, you know, this isn't a partisan matter. Common Cause is nonpartisan, found in a court of law to be lying about our elections. And that's why they had to pay all that money. So we had a really overwhelming response from people who, one, are fed up about their cable bills going up, and two, are fed up about Fox News undermining our democracy.
Yeah, and I would also argue and throw into the fact that I don't think we should be paying for their Dominion lawsuit. I don't think we should be the one picking up the bill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talking about the avenues of accountability, right? You have the advertiser boycotts, right? So they're not making nearly as much money from ads as they used to on Fox News. But also you have the legal avenue, and that brought some serious potential for accountability for Fox News. They lied and lied and lied about Dominion. And so they had to pay over $750 million. And there are more lawsuits coming. But if they can just pass the cost of those lawsuits onto you, even though you don't even watch the channel, that shows what a bad system we have here. And it shows the need for consumers to be really clear with their cable providers, that it would be unacceptable for that cost to be passed on to them.
Yeah. What I find interesting, Philip, is, you know, I don't know if you saw yesterday the quote from Adam Kinzinger, the former Republican congressman, who said, he was on CNN and he was explaining why he voted for Democrats. And he said, look, I really believe it's down to one issue on the ballot. He says, it's not taxes. It's not abortion. It's none of that. It's one issue. Do you believe in democracy or do you believe in authoritarianism? And he went on to talk about his own family, how, you know, his own family had disowned him, you know, via certified mail, because he had fallen out of favor with Sean Hannity. And this is shown just how much this one channel has caused massive division in this country, even within families, especially within families.
Absolutely. And I think that just goes to show, you know, at bedrock, this isn't really it shouldn't be a partisan or an ideological kind of issue. This is about our fundamental values in terms of, do we believe in democracy? And that's the question for us in this case. Comcast, do you believe in democracy and rewarding
no.
company that's not doing anything?
No, but here's the thing. This is the other part of this. I mean, you've got Comcast, which is a massive corporation. All they care about, and I believe this, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. You don't have to come along on this journey with me. But I believe Comcast doesn't give a rat's behind about democracy. They care about their bottom line. They care about profit. They care about getting and keeping as many customers as possible and trapping them in contracts as long as they can so that they keep paying these fees to people like Fox. The whole scheme is set up on locking in the consumer. And I think it was Les Moonves who said, you know, Trump may be bad for democracy, but he's good for our bottom line. So I see all of this is good for the bottom line, and our captains of industry, they don't care about, you know, things like democracy. They care about the next quarter's profit margins.
You may be right about that. It's a depressing thought, but the fact is, that's why we have to get consumers to sign, and because if the cable companies know that there's underlying that, people are going to just cut the cable. I mean, that's a threat that they already have because they already know that that's what people are doing.
Right.
If they keep raising our cable fees and it's to undermine democracy and they lose cable customers, well, then maybe that'll get through to them. And that's what we have to communicate.
No, that's an excellent point.
Executives at all these companies.
Is that the next step then? I mean, you know, obviously the negotiations are ongoing, but if Fox gets what it wants, is that the next call saying, say, hey, look, we tried to tell them, don't do this. They did it. It's time to run away. It's time to go somewhere else. Is that the call then?
Well, right now we're really just focused on the carriage fee part of it. We think there's a really good opportunity here to get the cable companies to actually use this leverage, use this moment, and to say no. But yeah, down the line, that might be where this goes.
Yeah. Lastly, if people want to get involved, I mean, you've already delivered the petition. There's still time to get involved, and there's still time to sign on and do other things, right?
Absolutely. You can still sign online if you go to commoncause.org. And, you know, I also recommend folks, if you're a cable subscriber, they don't make it easy to contact them, but make it known that you don't want to pay more for Fox News.
That is an understatement. They don't make it easy to contact them. That's probably the most understated thing that we've said already all today.
You're probably right. They make it impossible. But I had to put it out there.
No, we should try. Absolutely. Write letters, scream, holler, do what you got to do. But I'm with you. No Fox fee. Philip Hensley, Robin, I appreciate you taking time for us. I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thanks so much, Rick.
You want to check out their website, commoncause.org. Great people there at Common Cause. They do excellent work. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around to listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. This day in labor history, the year was 1918. That was the day that bringing in a scab driver to run an elevated train in Brooklyn, New York, ended in tragedy. Members of the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers were out on strike against the Brooklyn Rapid Transit Company. The company had fired several union members for wearing union pins. To keep the trains moving, the company hired replacements and put them to work with little preparation. Edward Luciano received far less than the 60 hours of training that operators typically received before he made his fateful run. The next day, the New York Times reported on the deadly results, writing, quote, "A Brighton Beach train of the Brooklyn Rapid Transit Company made up five wooden cars of the oldest type in use.
which was speeding with a rush hour crowd to make up lost time on its way from Park Row to Coney Island, jumped the track shortly before 7 o'clock last evening on a sharp curve approaching the tunnel at Malbone Street in Brooklyn, and plunged into a concrete partition between the north and southbound tracks. At least 93 people died. Some estimates were more than 100 killed. The operator and several company officials were eventually put on trial for manslaughter. No one was found guilty. The company did, however, pay out damages to some of the families. Negotiations between the company and the union would continue until 1920. The union eventually won most of its demands. In the years after the crash, new safety measures were implemented for elevated trains to help guard against human error.
Oh, the workers on the SP line, the strike sent out a call. But Casey Jones, the union's cabbie, wouldn't strike at all. His boilers, they was leaking.
For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at laborhistoryin2.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
CommonCause.org, the website, if you want to jump on to the No Fox Fees bandwagon. And look, I was surprised at how much Fox gets from we the viewers. I knew they got something, but 70%? It's no wonder they don't care about the advertisers fleeing in droves. And I know they got deep billionaire pockets to make up the difference. But when most people who don't even watch Fox News are the ones funding it, man, that's a great scheme. You got to go. You got to give them credit for being able to set up basically a foolproof system that they can't lose. They're literally the house. Let's go to the phones. Got Steve in Chicago on line one. Steve, how are you today?
Yes, I'm fine. And I think another component of this is, you know, to try and get the consumers out there to write to those establishments where they frequent or their members. I stay at Radisson. I stay at Hilton Properties because of work. You know, and it's amazing how often, you know, that's the default station it's on in the bar, in any public area. You know, it's Fox, Fox, Fox. And that means that, you know, that they've got some agreement going there that, you know, okay, hey, anybody who's staying here, anybody who's at the bar, the restaurant, you know, that's what's on in the background. So, you know, I'm sure Fox is not oblivious to this. The cable company's not oblivious to it. So, you know, the question is, who is at these hospitality industry outlets has decided that Fox should be the default setting for these things? I mean, you know, you could have it on CNN, you could have it on any number of stations, but apparently it's Fox News. So, yeah, I mean, as you rightfully pointed out, this is about bottom line, and, you know, let's face it, Fox caters to older people and wealthier people. That's who tends to have more of the wealth in this country, and those are the people who watch cable. Younger people either don't watch the news very much or in many cases have cut the cable, as it were. So they're getting their news sources from other places. So the people who are really watching cable and who are sort of the ones that you want to cater to, because if you're trying to sell a Mercedes-Benz, you know, you're not going to sell it to a 27-year-old liberal graduate student. You're going to try and sell it to some 55-year-old mid-level corporate executive. So, yeah, I mean, all of these things play a role in this. But, you know, the question is, at what point do you grow conscience? I mean, at what point does your country mean more than you to you and survival of the republic than the bottom line? I mean, I'm all for a diverse set of views in the society. I think that's an important thing to have. But what Fox is doing is no longer just, you know, the right. This is, as January 6th demonstrated, these are people who want to undermine our republic, fundamentally overthrow it. You know, if they could have, they would have installed Donald Trump and made him emperor on January 6th. And I'm not talking about the people who stormed the Capitol. I'm talking about elected officials in this country, justices on the Supreme Court, that these kinds of people, governors, senators, congressmen. So, yeah, and they're not getting their marching orders from nowhere. You know, they take their cue from Fox. Fox is careful about, you know, sort of walking the line. They radicalize people, but they do it in such a way so that you can't really draw the line back to them directly and say, oh, well, I did it because of Fox. We all know that you did. But, you know, you take your cue from Fox and then you end up online where you go to the really radical, crazy sites and they'll tell you, well, this is why you need to go and pick up a gun or a grenade or whatnot and go out there and, you know, fight for your country because it's no longer white and Christian. And, you know, and there are all sorts of these other strange ideas out there, and we can't have that.
No, I'm with you. But, you know, this is where I'll get a little conspiratorial. You know, you go back to, you know, the Powell memo from 1971, you know, the treatise on how to save free enterprise, where corporate America got together and did a good job of funding their playbook. They did take over media. They did create an entire alternative thought module in the state policy networks and all these think tanks that are out there creating their own reality and then cross-citing their own incestuous pool of insanity. This is all well planned out, well thought out, and extremely well funded. So this is where I get a little conspiratorial. Yeah, it's on in every one of these hotels and restaurants and all of these places, not because it just happened to happen, but because you've got a corporate model that this is what we do. And this is how we do it. You don't question the corporate model, Steve. It's just how it is.
Oh, yeah. And what happened was that, you know, basically in the 1950s, you start getting television and people are buying them like the world was coming to an end. And we realized that, you know, that news is sort of an afterthought. So there's programming and then, okay, so these are public airwaves. So we'll give people some news and we'll do some programming that's public service. And corporations realize after a couple of decades, well, gee, you know, the people running this and doing this are part of that Eastern elite, you know, establishment. And the stuff that they're putting out there is certainly not making us look any good. They're definitely not conservatives. They're not moderates. They consider them liberals. And so we need a countervailing force. You know, they came to terms with this in terms of what happened in Watergate and Vietnam and so forth. Nobody was on Nixon's side. Nobody was on the side that was perpetuating a lot of the conservative agenda. And they were scratching their head. They're like, you know, the Washington Post, the New York Times, they've never been on our side, and certainly none of the networks are. So okay, what do we do? Well, we need to create an infrastructure that is conservative media. And it took decades for them to get there, you know, because Fox really didn't take off until the mid-1990s. And a lot of people thought that, oh, you're insane. Who the heck wants to watch conservative media? Well, yeah, it turns out that a lot of middle-aged and older people do want to watch it, you know, not to mention the fact that it really was the only alternative media network out there. You know, there's MSNBC and CNN and then there's public television, and there's a lot of other outlets for people who might be Democrat, liberal, progressive. You know, it depends on how you want to define yourself. But Fox was able to garner support for that because it was the only name on the block at the time when it was conservative media. And let's face it, they're still king of the hill. There are some networks and other things that are alternatives, and certainly there's online sources, but Fox is still the king, and they're the king makers. But now they're scratching their heads wondering in the wake of what happened with Dominion, and there's still another lawsuit with regard to that out there that who knows how much they're going to end up paying on that. So, yeah, Fox is wondering where their bread is buttered because they're in the game to make profit. But at the same time, you know, they don't want to get sued every other year for this kind of nonsense. So how do you walk that fine wire?
Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting to see how that works. And look, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with these fees. I fully expect them to get what they're asking for because Comcast understands it's all just business and it's all about the bottom line. But we'll see. Steve, I appreciate the thoughts, though. Thanks.
Thank you.
No, I mean, look, you know, I say this all the time. You got to give conservatives credit for playing the long game. They built a powerful medium. Talk radio is overwhelmingly conservative. If I were to change my message and say, yeah, corporations should be deregulated and billionaires shouldn't be taxed and, you know, we need to crush government and destroy those unions, there are 1,200 some odd channels out there for me to be on. But because I have working class values and I say, look, we should have health security. You should have some retirement security at the end of a lifetime of work. You should be able to earn a reasonable living wage that supports a family. Your work should be valued. We shouldn't have billionaires influencing our politics and our society in the way that they do. We shouldn't have monopolies and these massive corporations, you know, gouging us at every turn. There are only, well, 50 places for us to be, and we're there. This is why, again, we're moving to free speech TV. Again, not beholden to advertisers, not beholden to very rich people, but to our values and what we believe we should be talking about. That's why I hope folks will check out the website, freespeechtv.org. We'll get links out on social media, how you can do that. But, you know, I look at this and you, like I said, you got to give them credit. The end of the Fairness Doctrine in 87, when Reagan, you know, let that go, you saw a massive rise in anger radio. And it was all tilted toward the anti-government extreme right. And even, you know, you now get into just regular radio, you know, just music radio. The person behind the microphone, more often than not, is in that same view because they know where they've got a sister station that does the talk stuff. And it bled into all of our society to where the messaging that you're constantly hearing is focus group tested, think tank approved, because they know what grabs people. They know what angers people. They know they've done the research. They've actually done actual research, not watching a YouTube video on the can. That's what they give you to watch. That's what they give us to pay attention to. But they've done all the work. They've done all of the focus group testing and think tank approved and all the psych ops, and they've done all of it so that they know that when they throw the red meat out, they know how their base is going to react. And they know that's going to tear us apart. They know it's going to keep us to...
You're listening to The Shop. Conversations and a whole lot of fun.
Jackson.
It's all on your local Civic Media radio station.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.